Grandpa Stutz, when did your parents come over here from the United States as immigrants?
My grandfather came over from Germany in 1860 and settled in Ohio until 1865. He immigrated here to Michigan. He took up claims here on a farm and cleared it. Woodland. It was all woodland then. And then he worked for the month and by the day. That's right. And then that was all handwork. Rubbing. That was the main thing. You get the land clear, you try to raise something. And next, we growed up. My father bought in 1875 a farm of 80 acres, and mostly woodland. It was probably year-round. And when he'd have a piece of ground cleared, and in the fall, as soon as the work was done, he'd go to the woods, go in the woods and work, cut wood, and sell it for the cord round, and cleared some more ground. And my mother, she immigrated here in 1865. Germany. She was 18 years old. And they were married in 1874. And they settled on an 80-acre farm, mostly wood, and farmed what they could and raised the family. The family was the six of us. And we worked out by the month. I worked out for the month, got $12 a month. And I worked till the work was done in the fall, and we could go home, and it meant go to woods and go to school in between time. I went to a German school. Then next I went to the public school. We had a two-room school, two classes. The first room was from the first grade to the fifth. Then we went up to the second room, and it was from the fifth to the eighth grade. That was a high grade. There was no high schools unpaved, no stone roads, all mud. We had a ditch to clear the ground as we went. Altogether different than now. It was all horse work and muscle work. Cut the grain with a reaper, and the women folks would come and do the binding, bind it by hand, and then us smaller ones had to tear the bundles, make a row, so many bundles in a circle, and then the folks would come at night and shock it. And then it was cured in a shack and hauled in the barn and was stacked in a stack. And then it was thrashed. And that big problem.
What did you do with it after you thrashed it?
We carried it from the machine to the granary in sacks. Two bushels in a bag. And a shoulder it, carried it. A lot of tearing upstairs. And then we had a good time, but sometimes as high as 18 men. And first there was horsepower. And then they got a steam engine. And we thrashed the steam engines. And then they had water boil and two of them feed the machine by hand. And then it was modernized. Next, they got blowers to stack the straw. And they modernized. about it. And we had to first take the cradle out and cradle around the stumps. There's so many stumps. We had to cradle that and take the rake and rake it up and find it. After it cured, then hauled in a barn or a stack. Most of the stack them days. With the hay rack, load it down there, and haul it up, pitch it off, pitch it down, pitch it off. And then when the time come, it come to thrashing. And then we had each one had his job pitching on the machine. Then it was modernized, then it got steam engines. And then without wonders what we had, we had to stack the straw. After it was thrashed, the grain was put in the granary. It kept till the price was right, and then so to pay off debts with. And then it was in the 1900s when it was modernized, but they combined, and they combined the grain. And then they haul it up. And now it's all hauled to the elevator and run through the dryer. And none of it's stored in the grain anymore through modernization.
Would you still like the old way?
I do. It was a friendly conversation. We get together, neighbors all would help one another. When anything you needed any help, they'd be willing to come and help you, and then you'd help back again. And it was really a nice life. It was neighborly.
What did the women do back then?
The women done the housework, and then they'd help on the farm what they could. And then they had to do the milking and put the milk in crocks and days and get sour and take off the cream and make butter out of it. Churn it and churn crocks. And then they can take it to the market and sell it. The eggs. Took the eggs and everything had to be taken to the stores and it'd be traded into dry goods and groceries. And whatever was left was shaved off the money for something else to buy, clothing or everything was handworked in place.
Did many women teach in the schools?
Yes. They teach mostly all the common grades up to the 5th and 8th grades of them. And the school I went was a two-room school. We went to the 1st room to the 5th grade. And then we went to the 2nd room and there they taught the 5th to the 8th grade. That was higher than we went in school to teach in 10 days. And then we had to work in the morning, do our chores, and I just hustle home from school and work some more. We couldn't, the smaller ones, so we couldn't do any more. They'd have to, in the wintertime, gather the brush and put it on piles so it'd be burnt the next day. So the older ones had to cut wood and we'd sell it to the port. And all the handwork, crosscut saw and axe. There's no buzz saw that days or anything. And then gradually it got the water right. And then we had to work for the months.
What kind of work was your work that you made?
Farmer. I was on the farm and I worked for the months. First year I worked out, I was 14 years old, I got $12 a month. Got up 5 o'clock in the morning, worked till 8. Chores and stuff. And then go back on Sunday and start the next week out again. of your work was done in the fall and in the winter. That road, now if we had to go in the woods and cut wood for the rest of the day.
Like before you went to church on Sundays, did you have to do your chores?
Yeah. I was up to chores.
What kind of churches did they have?
All German at that time. Most of them except the town here, the evangelical, they had English. But most of the churches all around were German that day. The German immigrants were mostly German that immigrants here.
So they all spoke German?
Both German and no German.
Did you ever speak much German?
Yeah. I spoke to his grandpa died. I spoke to him with his grandpa. And the neighbors were all in German. We could speak no German. We didn't understand it.
Did they teach German in the school?
Yeah, we had German school. We went there till we was confirmed. Then we'd go during the springtime and vacation time. We'd go to public school.
How many members were there in the church?
Well, that I don't know really. They started there, the congregation started there with 16 members. They first kept their service in the house, and then they built this the church. And they gathered till it got up to nearly 200. And then they finally, in the 1920s, they got over to English and everything was English. Churches.
In 1906, what kind of automobile did you have to go to church?
We went with horse and buggy in them days, yeah. And the automobile started to come. And it is a great exciting thing when the automobiles come. The horses were afraid of them. We'd have to take them and hold them by the bit till the cars went by. And then some would go with horse and buggy and some would go with automobile to church. In 1919, I got my first automobile, a little Oberlin, for $500. It had a starter on. I run that till 1930, and I thought it was wore out. Then the children drove up and they took it out and made a tractor out of it. They do farm work with it. And then in 1930, I got me a Chevy. And I run that till the last one. I had three automobiles. The last one was a 1940. Then I run till I got 83 years old. Then I give up driving. And I went to foot. The children helped me out. And now it's altogether different. It's such a change, it's unbelievable. The younger ones don't believe it when you tell them how we lived them days. Our fun we made ourselves. We didn't have the sports they got now. We used to make our own sports. I mean, sports, we didn't have sports nowadays. In school, it meant studying. And if we didn't obey, we'd get strict orders. And if we'd get home, we'd get it once more. And
what kind of roads did you have to drive your automobiles on?
At first, when they got them, we had to drive in the mud. We used to drive in cup tea. And we'd have to put chains on the hind wheels or ropes. We used to save our ropes, tie them on and get stuck and put a rope or two on them. Then we started to build stone roads. I built the first stone road. We got on Lewis Avenue, 8-foot road from here to the Oneida to State Line, Ohio. And then later on, we got Helling contractor, and he built the cement road from Ida to the state road, Toledo. And that was 16 foot wide. And that road is in today yet. And we thought, wonders what we had, and had a half a mile of mud to try to get to the stone road. So we started to build outside roads. First waterbound, I built the first streets in Ida. Waterbound road, they're in today yet. The county took it over next. I was overseer for 16 years in this district. Had a ditch, took all the ditches and tiled all bad. I put in thousands of tile, dug through hard pan, and put in the tile to drain the farms, the drainage. And we kept the ditches open. And now we got everything stone roads. And we used to run a bicycle. And we thought, wonders what that was when they come out. And I'd go to work on a bicycle. And on the rough dirt roads, might know what went on once in a while. I enjoy the modernization they got now. I enjoy it. I'm old now, 94 years old, and I can see a lot of change in my days from then and now.
And when did you get your first radio?
In 1930. I got my first radio, and we thought the world what we had. And it could get the news over the air. It was wonderful. And my father was with me. He enjoyed it. He had a certain program, and they'd come, and he'd go and listen to the radio. And we had graphophones. And we thought, wonders what they were. And in 1930, I got my first television. And now, what we got, the younger ones don't appreciate what they get nowadays on the modernization court in our days. And yet we had sociable times, more sociable than they are now. We're all neighbors. Them days helped one another, and it was a nice life to live.
Did your neighbors come over and listen to your radio?
Yes, they'd come over. We went for miles to hear the first radio come over the air. Then if a motor would run, it'd be static. We couldn't hear now. And we finally got that regulated. And then we'd go to one neighbor together. We got the first while we'd gather there. And then we'd have our fun in parties, go to parties, and play cards. We used to play Pedro them days. We used to walk sometimes miles in the evening, cross lots. You see our neighbor. We didn't see a neighbor for a week. We'd come to see what was the matter with him. Doctor, we had to go foot. We had to have a doctor or otherwise take a horse to go horseback.
What did the Depression have on your life?
It was really a hard time, the Depression. We could sell stuff and then we couldn't get no money for it. I sold milk to Toledo for the 100, and the city there went under. I lost over $140. Then I sold the BB dairy in West Toledo. I lost another $100. It went broke. And we had many times we went to town in the Depression time. We bought for the children. We went home without. And it was hard for a lot of them to make their taxes. lucky we built our road in 1928 in the Depression time. They worked every day. It made enough to assess $6 an acre on the road taxes. I worked every day I could down the road to make up, take my taxes. And it was lucky the Depression came on. They couldn't meet their payments. And it was a ration. You had to buy the tickets. You got ration stamps. Bought gas by ration stamps. You bought groceries. Sugar and everything was rationed. And there's hunger times. You never forget them. But everything was cheap them days. Where we bought sugar and coffee. My folks used to buy coffee for 12 cents a pound. That's three glasses of coffee. Arbuckle, four eggs, and lime coffee. 12 cents a pound. But we had to grind it. Each one had a grinding mill to home. We had to grind it and cook it. It was work them days. Women folks had trucks to wash, take care of the milk, and had to cool their milk in the cellar. Sometimes churns. A long time they had no thermometers. And now everything was modern. We thought wonderful. We had them and had a creamery. We all 28 years built at the creamery. And it quit. And they got them separated.
What was the price of milk in the stores?
We used to buy milk for 5 cents a quart. And then for years we had to bottle it. And then we had to carry it yet and peddle it. And then they had the grocery stores. They had an every storekeeper had groceries, dry goods, and shoes and boots. That's where they made the living. We had 7 stores in our little village here. They all made a living selling their goods. And we'd carry our butter and eggs over to them and they'd exchange it for groceries. And they had a little money left. We didn't spend it, we took it home and saved it.
How much was a pair of shoes?
Shoes, we used to buy a pair of work shoes for $1 a pair. It lasted all year. Boots, leather boots, $1 for leather boots. Sunday shoes, a little bit more, but not much. Everything was cheap that day, but you worked cheap. In a boat. Every businessman had a way now. Spices went by the ounces, butter and eggs they bought, and had to handle it, and so would they then. And then they'd crackers come with barrels, sugar come in barrels, and everything was different. It was non-packaged like now. Foods come in a bulk, they sold it by the pound. Everything went to weight, and there were scales. And next they finally got scales and weighed it and figured it right away too. They thought, what is what they had there? They'd buy it, they press a button, it'd show up how much your amount come. Years ago they had to figure it all by hand.
Did they ship much of the food in, or was it all grown around here?
It was all grown here, and then it was shipped out from here. And they'd come here with huckster wagons and buy it and truck it to the larger cities, so they'd go to Monroe. And the farmers would truck their grain potatoes and that stuff to they go to the market. They start out early in the night and drive all day to get down there about daybreak and get back in the dark, which are our hogs, and sell them straight to the old hard work all day and then nights to down there and get the hogs to the market to feed them. There's different times than they are now. Now they come and chuck everything, and it's modern. But still, I think our old days, how hard they were, but I enjoyed them.
So you'd still rather have the old days than what you got now?
In some ways, yeah, I do. But I like the modernization. Now you can press a button, you can cook, got your electricity. You got everything handy, you got the television, you get your news to home, get the news from foreign countries, and all over. And it's wonderful. The trouble is, the younger ones don't appreciate it enough what they got now. Well, we worked hard for it nowadays. And now, you got hard work to live with the prices out of now. They're all out of reach.
What do you do with your life now, since everything's mostly modern?
I take it easy and I enjoy it. I get up in the morning when I feel like it. I'm retired and I have my television, I have my radio, and I keep busy on different things, amusement. Nice. Enjoy to see the modernization the younger ones, my grandchildren got nowadays, where they got it nice, schooling and everything. We had to take schooling whenever we could spend a day. Now they go ready and they get hauled with the bus, we had to go foot. Everything is modernization nowadays. Trucking. And we don't even have a train. They chuck it all down and bring from the market here. And I really enjoy it because it's handy. It saves a lot of hard work. Where the women had to run the washing machine by hand, now turn on the electric button and machinery goes and does the work. Refrigeration and everything. I think it's wonderful where it is. The only thing is the price of everything. It's got out of reach. But I enjoy my life. They enjoy it with the grandchildren that they have the modernization they have now. And getting around where we had to go for it in the mud.
You still think you could live if we had all the old things left?
I could, but it'd be hard on the younger ones, but it'd be hard on me. Go back to the old life again. I'm worn out now, I'm old. I couldn't do it anymore. It seems almost impossible that we've done it nowadays, but we did. We've done everything by hand. And I think we've done a wonderful job of it, cleared the ground and everything. What wood and what stumps there used to be, we used to dig. And Father would plow in the fall. We'd have to grub stumps. We had sometimes, but you couldn't hardly look out of the hole in those stumps. If a week get a stump to get it out. Where now it's blasted and done modern. And machinery, bulldozers and that.
Have you lived in Monroe County most of your life?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Monroe County. I was born in a log house and on a farm. And I took over the homestead, which my son is on now, and it's a centennial farm now. And I live in Ida, And I live alone here. Keep house, the children help me out. I lost my wife 4 years ago. And I make the best of it and I enjoy it. I have the school right across the road from me, where there is. We had our old school. I went to the same school in now. What a difference. We had one school, 2 rooms. Now I don't know how many rooms they got. Got a great school, got a high school, got shop, cafeteria, and buses, and everything else. I can't imagine what all is going on nowadays, Judge. The olden times.
Do you think you could handle it if you went back to school?
Would it bother me? I wouldn't know how to start it in the modernization times now. We didn't have the schooling like now. My main objects was reading, writing, and arithmetic. And they thought that was the main thing. That's about all that we did. Till later on they got different other grades in spelling. We used to go out spelling bees, see who was the best speller. Stood up last, was the best speller.